Anyway, I think we might have the poet Rob Roth on the line. Are you there, Rob?
Sam, Phil, good to hear from you.
Well, we're glad to get you. I didn't mean to make you endure an editorial, but thank you very much for your patience. Phil Conlon tells me that you are best described as a Southwestern Ontario poet. You've published many great books of poems, and tell us the title of your latest one, and I want to ask you about a poem that you've written in connection with another book. But what is the latest, your latest book?
The last book I did, Phil, was called Hard Times. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the first person to publish a book with that title.
Yeah, but it's a good, it's very apropos.
It was very true to what I was writing about.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you have been looking at a book that we've been wanting to talk about on this show, and you seem to be the ideal figure to tell us about it. It's called Songs Upon the Rivers, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadians and Métis from the Great Lakes and the Mississippi Across the Pacific. It's written by Robert Fox Curran, Michael Bouchard, and Sebastian Mallette. And of course, I know you're from Windsor. Pardon me?
London.
London?
Yeah. Well, you're partly right.
That's a voice for Condon.
I lived in Windsor when I was young.
I think of you as from Windsor, but okay. But, well, to make that association, Windsor and Detroit, they have this river called the Strait, named by the French, which people often forget. I just wondered, maybe that entered into your mind when you
it
began to think about
it. Definitely did.
That.
That's one of the things I really liked about this book. As a kid, I remember all the French names in Windsor, streets like Oulette, and we lived just up the road from, we called it Grand Maris, but it's the French words again, and there was Belle Isle, and the city of Detroit's name, as you just said, is a French name. Mm-hmm. So this book filled in a lot of history for me that I really wasn't that aware of.
Mm-hmm. What sort of I think it is a common problem, as you point out. We have it's rather like I grew up in California, where all the names are Spanish, and which we immediately mispronounce. But you know, it tells you something about history. These places used to be something. There were other people here, other governments, other economies. So what struck you about the kind of details in this book stood out for you?
Well, for me, it was really reestablishing a lost history, because it's right in the title of the book, but it reestablishes the role of the French and Métis people, who were essential to the history of North America since the Europeans arrived, because the entire economy began in the fur trade years, and they carried French culture, Métis culture across North America. And the book fills in a lot of that story so that we begin to understand where names like St. Louis came from, a major American city. It's the French word.
Yes.
And we don't know the history often of how this came to be. So this book, for me, it sort of filled in that part of history that tends to be missing.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Of course, you have the Detroit. You have the Mississippi River, and at the top, very close to the big Mississippi's headwaters, is Detroit. And of course, Mississippi exits into the ocean at New Orleans. Tells you a lot of French things happen.
Yeah.
I once read an account of Abraham Lincoln having a trial outside Chicago, and he was acting on behalf of a priest who was in fighting with the church, and his community was supporting him. And everybody who testified in French, and Lincoln insisted that they should, and that a translator be provided. So that would have been about 1850.
Yeah.
So everybody, all the witnesses, speaking French. Now, I understand you wrote a poem where that has to do with this matter. Were you inspired by the book itself?
Yes, I was. I'm living in Owen Sound these days, up on Georgian Bay. Mm-hmm. And actually, right where I live, along the shore, were Métis homes that have been There were Métis families along the shore of Owen Sound Bay, which leads into Georgian Bay, since the 1800s. And at the time of the Riel Rebellion in 1885, ships came back carrying the troops home, troops sent from Ontario, many were volunteers, from fighting to put down the Riel Rebellion, the Northwest Rebellion, and they arrived in Owen Sound. And there was a big celebration here in Owen Sound at the time. And I got to thinking, for a couple of years, I've been thinking, well, I wonder what the Métis families along the shore were thinking when those ships came in. But I could never get my head around it properly. And reading the book sort of crystallized the thoughts for me, and that's sort of how the poem came about.
Well, this poem, I understand someone, it was read at a gathering of Métis, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
They chose to, tell us about that.
Well, in Owen Sound, there is a branch of the Métis Nation of Ontario. It's the Great Lake Métis Council. And I've, because of where I'm living, I've done a fair bit of writing about families in this area, and a number of them were Métis. And so I've had contact with the organization. So when I showed the poem to them, they chose to read it at the Louis Riel Day celebration this year here in Owen Sound.
You must have been proud of that.
I was.
Were you in attendance, or this
I
simply
I was asked to read it, but I was headed off to Ottawa to see my daughter, and I couldn't. So one of the members of the organization read it.
You're like Bob Dylan. You had a conflict of schedule. You couldn't give the Nobel Prize
speech. Okay.
Poets are like that. Can you read the poem for us?
Sure, I could.
We really appreciate it.
Okay.
I'll leave the rest to you.
Okay. The poem is called French Village, and actually along the shore here in Owen Sound, at one time, the area where the French-speaking Métis family lived, they were mainly fishermen, was called the French Village. French Village. A ship came into Owen Sound. The crowd gave it a loud ovation. Word was out they'd laid to rest Riel's half-breed nation. John MacDonald had a dream of cart and travois swept away. Soon the buffalo were gone. Into the west there came a train. No one knows for certain, as the noose was firmly tied, if those French fishermen wept when Louis Riel died. The trees are like a Métis sash, red, green, orange, interwoven. The high bluffs offer shelter. Log cabins stand below them. So that's it.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much. I can see why they chose to read. I hope that they put that on some sort of marker, because you told us something I don't think many of us knew, that there was a Métis community in Owen Sound.
Yes, there is, and it's going to be recognized this year. They're putting up a plaque. The city is finally going to put a plaque along the shore in this area. It used to be known as Mudtown. It's quite a poor area of town, and there's now going to be recognition of the Métis presence along the shore.
Well, we're very glad to hear about that. I'll do editing on air or producing. Maybe we could get a copy of the poem. We would be, and we'll make sure that we post it on our site for the occasion of this marker.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Yeah. And I should say that Robin Philpott at Baraka Books, published this book, Songs Upon the Rivers, and Robin did put the poem on the website for Baraka Books. And so I was sort of thrilled because I know the authors of the book got to read my poem after I had a chance to read their book.
Now, that's the best kind of communication.
Yes, it is.
Rob Roff, we're really glad we could talk to you. I think we can now call you a sound poet. You're at Owen Sound.
So okay.
a poet of the sound.
Yeah.
Well, we're very grateful, and I like you, I hope people turn to this book and And thanks for telling us that we can find that poem now. Any our listeners can go to Baraka Books. It's up there at the moment, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, Rob Rolfe, thank you very much.
Well, thanks very much, Phil. It's good to hear from you, and say hi to my other Phil friend there.
Yes, he's nodding, so
I heard your hi there, Rob. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Talk again soon.
Bye.
Rob Rolfe. And he's talking about the book, Songs Upon the River, Rivers, plural, pardon me, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadians and Métis from the Great Lakes and the Mississippi across to the Pacific. And that's Robert Fox Curran, Michel Bouchard, Sebastian Millette. I think Sebastian just hung up. And an important book to get. This thing about the presence of the French in North America, it's important. You know, just across, not far from Windsor, where Rob Rolfe lived, was where one of the big battles of the War of 1812 happened. It was actually quite an ugly moment. And the name of the place of the battle was French Town. That was the name of the location when the battle happened. Actually, the majority of the population in that area, European, if we can say that, were not English or American, but they were French. And they were in an awkward position because they had to watch the Anglos and the Americans fight each other. And to wonder what was going to happen to them.
Yeah, you know, when you interviewed Robin Philpott about this book, he emphasized that those people were French in the same way that the Americans were English. They were people from here. I mean, this was their continent. They were born here and so, but yeah. They had moved out to populate the rest of the continent, which is what the Americans wanted to do. But the Americans didn't really have in mind having all these French speakers, you know, establishing the local culture. But so much of the U.S. Midwest, Wisconsin and Iowa and Missouri, were French.
Des Moines.
Yeah. Des Moines.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah, no, it's
– And Ohio even, right, I think.
And of course the relations were entirely different. But the French native relations were quite different than the Americans. Americans came to farm and the French had come to trade. So a different economy with different ugly consequences. I can't resist mentioning here at the end of the show, the Globe and Mail today quoted some of these people who attacked the buses who were transporting – who were to – by the way, the buses were to transport Syrians who were encircled by terrorists. And so the terrorists burned the buses. And so the Globe and Mail quotes one of those who burned the buses, and they said, the buses that came to evacuate the apostates have been burned. I have trouble reading this. The pigs, the Shiite pigs, will not be allowed to leave. So these they turned out the lights in Paris for these people. And there's no confusion about that. France wants us to worry about the armed gang and not celebrate the liberation, which is why, by the way, the current government of France is going to be eliminated quickly in the next election. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Charlotte and Ian, thank you all both very much. We'll see you next week.